Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back. You are on with the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Charlie Smith. Joining me today, Jeremy Schilling. You can find us on Twitter at Smith_MLB and at JTSchill20. That's 2 L's. Unlike the Red Sox that just keep getting dubs. The Red Sox just won 10 in a row for the first time since, I believe I saw the graphic, it was July 2nd to July 12th of 2018. Red Sox are obviously 10-0 in their last 10. They're 12-1 in their last 13, and they're 21-9 over their last 30. The Red Sox against the Rays, 0.0 ERA from the bullpen, 1.96 ERA from your starters. Seidon Rafaela is baseball Jesus over the last 10 games and for the Boston Red Sox. I don't think anyone is wondering what's going on with Rafael Devers at this point because it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. So what was your first takeaway from this game?
Well, Rafael had another home run. So he stays as hot as you can possibly be going into the break. And Bayo, I expected Bayo to not pitch well today coming off the complete game. I thought he'd maybe be a little bit fatigued and he gave you a chance to win and, you know, and I think we're going to talk a little bit more about him later on, but he continues to impress me and his stuff seems to get better. That sinker hit, I think, 98 at one point today. I don't know if maybe he's pitched himself into a number two slot in this rotation, and which means if we do make the postseason, he's going to pitch. He's going to get the ball to start game two or three. So that's my main takeaway from today. They are just hotter. They're as hot as I can ever remember them being. It came out of absolutely nowhere. After the West Coast trip a week and a half ago, I mean, I was already thinking, I looked up one of the Pats open in training camp because I got to start thinking about football. I'm just a little bit upset that the All-Star break is here, frankly. I know people say it all the time, oh, it's coming at a tough time. There can't be a worse time for the All-Star break than on a 10-game heater. All I can hope is that with the leadership in place, that these guys are thinking about baseball, staying sharp, and come back Friday ready to go and keep it going.
Yeah, super impressed. Brian Bayo, his first complete game, wasn't a shutout. I don't care. They won 10-2 against the Rockies. So there's going to be some naysayers that say, well, it's Colorado. Of course, your starters are going to go 8 innings plus. 307 pitches, struck out 10. Again, only allowed 2 runs on 5 hits, gave up a home run, went the distance. A couple days later, Garrett Crochet finally got his complete game and his shutout. I do recall being once told he did not earn the right to complete that game when he gave up a solo home run to Aaron Judge in the ninth inning. He got 0 runs. He got 1 run of support, gave up no runs, got that complete game shutout. As you said, Jeremy, this is the hottest this team has been in years. This team is exciting. They swept the Nats. They swept the Rockies. And then they swept the Rays. Gun to our heads, there's a 0.0% chance that any person would have said, oh yeah, they'll get back-to-back sweeps. Doesn't matter which two teams. But 3-3-4, they're playing 667 baseball in their last month. That's the hottest team in baseball. It's better than the Dodgers, who have hit a little bit of a free fall state. And better than the Tigers. Better than Toronto, who had the first, you know, 8-game win streak, I believe, of the year for Major League Baseball in 2025. I'm pretty sure. One thing that we got to talk about, though, Aroldis Chapman. Aroldis Chapman is having his best statistical season of his career. So what do I mean by that? Aroldis Chapman's last earned run was against, I believe, the Milwaukee Brewers in the game that he blew a save. He has been so locked in, it's not even funny. Allowed 0 earned runs in the month of June. So far in July, 0 earned runs. You have to go back to that late game in May when the Red Sox gave up a boatload of runs in that series. We lost multiple games and extra innings, including that grand slam to Christian Yelich. That was one of the last days we saw one of our relievers play. I don't think on any planet, I don't care what the deal or the offer is, that guy's going to get traded. There's absolutely no way. No fan is going to be able to take this team seriously if that man isn't coming out of the pen to shut your game down. Zero chance. Your take.
Well, my take is twofold. I think the context of where the team is at right now is important to understand. You can't finally get back to where you have the talent, the depth, to seriously contend and then trade away your star closer, who's having just a fantastic season. The biggest uptick for me is he's become more of a strike thrower. His command isn't elite. You know, he's not living on the black, but it doesn't matter when he's 99, 100 with movement. He's just blowing people away. And there's at-bats where after the first or second pitch, I'm like, this guy's got no shot. And to say that a big league hitter doesn't have a shot against a pitcher is like, you just don't see it in today's game. But he makes people look, Major League Baseball players look like they are not Major League Baseball players just for that at bat. It's wildly impressive. Now, I personally think if you trade Aroldis Chapman, just without talking about what the return would be, that the Red Sox fan base that has been calling Sam Kennedy a liar and John Henry a cheap prick and Breslow a puppet, and or maybe that's just what I've been saying, whatever, we're going to fly off the deep end. Now, one thing I would say is I'm not going to fly off the deep end until I saw the return. If you went and got a legitimate number two or even like a 1B, like a second ace, and Chapman was part of that, meaning that you improved the big league club in moving Chapman, then I'd like to have a conversation about that. But if it's just trade Chapman because we want to get something of value for him for the future, I'm going to lose my mind. Like we've done this so many times. The kids are finally here. We don't need to get younger right now. We need to supplement the big league club and go try to win a World Series. I don't think that's possible this year. I think the window opens maybe next year if these kids go and get some postseason experience. But that's not to say it can't happen. Get these kids in the playoffs and let them learn what it's like to win on the biggest stage. So, and Chapman helps you do that. And then may steal you a series You know, you could bring him in the seventh with the 3-4-5 up, man on first and second, one out, and he could blow two guys away. And, you know, he's shown a willingness to do that. He's not, you know, somebody like Kimbrel who could only pitch in the ninth in a save situation. He'll come in and blow people away. He doesn't care, at least by action. He doesn't care. I haven't heard him say anything. He doesn't really talk to the media, but I haven't heard him say anything like, I want the ninth as mine. No, he's coming in the seventh because that's when the heart of the lineup is in. He's done his job. He's so valuable. I just can't imagine a trade where the return makes us better at the big league level. I just don't see it happening. And so for that reason, I'm completely out on moving Chapman or anybody that is having a positive effect on the big league club.
Yeah, at this point, I mean, you and I briefly touched up on this once prior. I don't want to hear somebody like Chapman, Duran, Abreu, Story, and people are, if there's a team willing to take Story right now, I'm like, I don't know, man, because he's been clutch when people needed him to be clutch. Seidon Rafaela is like on another stratosphere. He's hitting over 400 over his 10-game streak. He's got 5 home runs, 12, 13 RBIs. He's just crushing everything. And in the ninth inning, the fifth inning, it doesn't matter. He's just doing it. You're trying to figure out how to pitch to him. It's like, okay, cool. He go away. He's gonna go with you. He's just gonna go for a single. He's not trying to hit a home run every single time. Today in the postgame, he didn't think he had it. He did. It just worked out. That's a home run in only 2 stadiums, apparently. But it happened to be Fenway, so I'll take it. But I don't want any prospects. I don't want any prospects. I don't want to hear anything about the, okay, we're building for the future right now. Because if we're going to try to pretend to be serious about 2025, because we're now back in it again. You had a 6-game win streak, 6-game losing streak. That cancels that out. I don't think the Red Sox are going to lose 10 in a row. That's pretty hard to do. You almost have to try. You have to be the Colorado Rockies bad to do that. Even I don't know how many they've lost in a row on the year.
You're not going to lose 10 in a row with Crochet healthy. It's not going to happen.
Impossible, right? It'd be impossible. He is absolutely dealing. Crochet, when he got off the mound, he's like, yeah, okay, cool. We could pitch a 10th inning too. I mean, he looked like he was ready, like ice in the veins. Just didn't matter. This team is not to be trifled with right now. And someone's going to say, oh, well, you face Colorado. Okay. You face Washington. Okay. You face Tampa Bay. You still going to say okay to that? Tampa Bay can baptize some teams pretty badly. We beat Washington. We beat Colorado. I'm hoping worst case scenario, you split that series. You win game one. I'm thinking, okay, cool. If you win the Crochet game, you just need to win one of those other two games. So maybe 3 out of 4 is possible. Then you win game two. Then you win Crochet. Then you got Bayo on the bump after a complete game. It's possible. And it was crazy. Like there was some back and forth, but smart baseball, some silly moments, you know, I can't blame Jaron for that. You know, it was just unlucky. He just kind of caught him. He was cheating right and then went left back to first base. It didn't work out. And then that play at third base, that was one of the turning points of the game. Runner goes back into third base. They call interference, obstruction. He is awarded home. Following inning, we lose that run. Nobody says anything. Let's keep going. Just keep getting outs. Get runners on base. Let's try to get the train rolling again. Then I believe it was it Roman Anthony who got a double? I think it was Roman Anthony. I apologize. I'm not 100%. And then it was a single and then 2-run shot. And then we're up 4-1. And then you just have to figure out the next inning plus before the ninth inning feels like a done deal. This team is insanely prepared. So Aroldis Chapman, for one quick second, in his best statistical season in 2016 as a member of the Cubs, before, you know, because he also was a Yankee part of that year, he had a 1.01 ERA. His combined ERA was 1.55. The lowest ERA he's had in his career was 1.51, which was year 3. He struck out 122 guys in 71 and 2/3. His whip was 0.81. This year, he has a 1.18 ERA, sub 1.2. Like, that's Mariano Rivera-esque. He's that good. 0.76 whip. And he has 58 punch outs in 38 innings of work prior today. So 39 innings, 61 strikeouts. He's also allowed only 4 hits in the last 2 months. And he struck out over, I think, 26 or 27 guys. He's the best closer in baseball right now. I don't care about Josh Hader. I don't care about who's playing for some of the other teams in the National League. This is the closer of 2025. He at this age, I think he's 38, right? 37, 38 years old. He is the best closer in baseball. We can talk about other starters too. And I know there was something on your mind that you wanted to talk about regarding starters. So I'll let you have the floor on that.
Yeah. I mean, and I touched on this on the last time I was on the podcast. One of the things that I was expecting is that they go get a number two starter, somebody that you anticipate pitching in each series in the playoffs. And then Bale throws a complete game and comes back today and wins you another ball game. And I'm watching his stuff and I'm like, he's clearly ascending. This is why they paid him. If you recall, everybody, they've extended Bayo. So he's under team control for another 4 or 5 years. And all of a sudden it's like, he's just totally in command. And then the bad thing happens, you know, lead off double, whatever may be the case. And he doesn't lose composure. And like the inning you talked about today, he limited it to one run and then he just went and got the rest of the outs and that was it. So I'm starting to think that Bayo might be the number two guy where you could expect him to give you a chance to win a playoff game after the crochet start. So, you know, I know we spoke to Terry earlier and he's not on today, so he doesn't have a voice, but he seems to think it'd be Giolito. I'm not necessarily opposed to that. I just think Bayo's stuff is better. Obviously, Giolito's been around a long time and he's on this unbelievable streak of six starts with two or less earned runs. But to me, Bayo has the better upside. If he continues to pitch like this, I think I personally would go Bayo and Giolito third. So it's not, I'm not saying Giolito shouldn't be getting the ball in the playoffs, but that's where I have it right now. So it removes a need to go get that second starting pitcher. And you can focus on other areas like first base.
I think as far as you and Terry are concerned, I think you're both right. You're both wrong. I don't think it matters which one's your two and which one's your three. You have your two and your three. Giolito, six straight starts, quality. He's 5-0 in those starts. Since then, he has dropped his ERA from 6.42 to 3.36. To the boys that do the adjustments in MLB The Show, I thank you. I know Lucas Giolito thanks you because that's how he's using, you know, his workflow to kind of get like an eye on these guys. If it works for you, great. I'm not going to say anything about it. To your point, Bayo has shown something that we hadn't seen in a little while. Jonathan Papelbon brought something else out. He brought something up, excuse me. They're throwing strikes. They're getting outs. They're not afraid to throw first pitch strikes because before they were kind of nibbling and they're trying to paint the black. And now that's not happening anymore. You don't win 10 games by accident. That's just not how it works. But Bayo is refinding himself. Giolito post-surgery and missing an entire year, refinding himself. We have had guys on this show that have said DFA Giolito. DFA Bueller, get rid of Story, bye-bye Yoshida. Guess what? Story's returning. Giolito's got, again, we just mentioned he's dropped his ERA, three full runs. Bayo's lighting up the Christmas tree. I have no complaints. Everything is starting to click. We're not winning these games 10-0 or, you know, 7-1 each game out. These are hard-fought games. Now, the Colorado games, yeah, you're going to kind of blow them up a little bit. But all the games with Tampa Bay, 4-3, that's a one-run game. 5-4, that's a one-run game. 1-0, that's a one-run game. The Boston Red Sox used to be the team that would lose those games. And now we're winning those one-run games. One of the graphics that they showed during the day, the Red Sox have 8 walk-off wins this year, which is the most in the American League. And it's second to only one team. And coincidentally, it's a team that one of our former stars now plays for, being the San Francisco Giants. We, at one point, were the team that had the most one-run losses. We had 17 one-run losses. Starting pitching is becoming elite, really elite. Your bullpen is lighting it up. They're not getting taxed because your starters are going 6, 7, 8 innings or shutting it down. So I don't have to see Brennan Bernardino pitch every other day or every day. I don't have to see Wilson pitch every day or every other day. Garrett Whitlock isn't going to have to come out for back-to-back games or pitch for 2 innings in a game. Why? Because your starters are doing their job and it's making a massive difference. This, again, not by accident. There's something that has been changed. It's been tweaked. We're fearless. This team is fun again for the first time in a really, really long time. And it's amazing what happens when everybody's happy and there's no clubhouse guys that are supposed to be the guy there anymore. It's incredible. And I'm just curious to know what would have happened if that trade hadn't happened. Would this team have won 10 straight? I don't know. I just remember one really important story. When Alex Bregman was injured and the Red Sox were in the clubhouse, they were either celebrating a win or they're doing something else. You have Alex Bregman, a former player of the Houston Astros, a team that I despise and one of the players that I used to dislike, has all the rookies in the corner and he's helping them with their swings. This is what you got to do differently. This is what I would change. Notice this. You're doing this differently. And he's trying to work with them and he's trying to help them. He's earning his contract. He's earning his money. While he can't do it on the field, he's doing it off the field with the young guys. I don't know about you, but I now find myself, okay, cool. Game is at 105, 1035, wherever it is you are in the country. Dude, I'm there an hour early. I want to watch pregame because I want to see who they're interviewing, what else they're talking about. It's exciting again. It's no more, okay, cool. Yeah, I missed the game, condensed game, whatever. I can come 30 minutes late and, you know, I'll just catch up and blow through commercials. I want to see everything. I want to hear everything that's being said. This is exciting again.
Yeah, I mean, look, on-field interviews are great when your young stud center fielder, known for his defense, rifles the ball into the turnpike. The stadium that night specifically, even through the TV, was an electric factory. I don't remember the last time Fenway felt like that. I think the way Cora is presenting himself and handling the media has become easier on him, which is probably stating the obvious because they're winning, but, I don't hear excuses. The only person that I'm still going to have an issue with is Sam Kennedy will lie if he opens his mouth. So I just don't trust anything he says. But the thing that I love the most about where the on-field product is right now is they are going to force the Red Sox to make a meaningful move at the deadline. Topic for a different day. I don't trust the guy that has to do it. I'm hoping that Theo will be involved in that process like he was with signing Bregman. But
right.
But the whole like buy, sell, right, as we sit here right now, we're going to be buyers. Like you don't know what's going to happen between the July 18th and that 12 days. But unless they fall off the rails, which I don't see happening with the way they're getting starting pitching, they have to buy. And again, the people that have been paying attention, the people that, you know, are there in April, just like they are in September, are going to lose their minds if they just sit pat. Right. And we all saw what they did last year. We all called it out in real time with the moves that they made and how bad they fell flat almost immediately across the board in all of the four major moves. I think is going to put an additional pressure on Breslow in the front office to go commit assets to a real plus for the big league club as we roll into August. So, I'm with you, Charlie. I mean, I always listen to 98.5 and you know, a lot of the podcasts that I'm not on, but it's where it was kind of like a routine and I'm almost forcing myself to do it. Now I'm turning it on. I'm excited. I'm allocating more time to before and post game like you are. And I was actually, when you were doing the intro, I was trying to think of the last time I've been this optimistic, this excited. And I want to say, unfortunately, it was this time last year when I think we were 10 games over 500 going into the break. The big league club was not supplemented and it fell off the rails and the season ended the way it ended. So My big thing is, are we going to go chips in the middle and try to win? I want a commitment from ownership, and I don't want them to talk about commitment. I want them to show commitment by going to get assets for this year's club.
Yeah. No, to your point, last year, the Red Sox went on an absolute heater. They had a 5-game win streak. They swept the Marlins. They took 2 out of 3 from the Yankees. They've gone 10-3 in their 13-game span. Like you mentioned, 10 games over 500. Everything is going great. You come out of that, and it was a different story because you had certain teams that were a certain level. You got swept against the Dodgers. You lost 2 of 3 against Colorado. It was just a hot mess. I think that was the series also. The whole Reese McGuire in Colorado kind of situation took place. It was bad. You go onto a heater, you're 10-3, and then you've lost 5 of your first 6. Then you got the Yankees again. You lose 2 of 3 of that series too. It was just an absolute mess. It blew up in our face. But I mean, there was a video, Terry and I were talking about this, and it kind of made its rounds. You see our guy who's supposed to be making the decisions for this team for the betterment of the Boston Red Sox hearing chants of keep Jaron Duran, keep Jaron Duran. And you just see our GM with a smile on his face. He's just sitting there like, oh, yeah, cool. I'm pretty sure they're going to call for my head if I trade Jaron Duran for any package. Because people in San Diego think Jaron Duran's going there. What are we getting back from San Diego if we're giving Jaron Duran? Dylan Cease and what? I don't want to trade Jaron Duran. I want no part of that trade. 0 shares of that deal. So Breslow's going to make some decisions. And everyone keeps saying, well, there's a plethora of people in the outfield. And we've talked about this really quickly. Injuries are a part of the game. Someone could go down. If you don't have that extra piece, you're it's like a one-legged race. You're trying really hard to try to outrun everybody else with 2, and you can't. So it's, you got to work smarter, not harder. Go ahead.
We spoke about the Duran trade possibility on Thursday, and lot of the same people are in the chat. So I don't want to necessarily give my whole take again, but very briefly, and I said it with regards to Chapman. I'm going to say it with Duran. I'm going to say it with Story and any other potential trade from the big league club in this season. If you trade Jaron Duran, you have to do it to make the 2025 big league Boston Red Sox better. So if you were going to trade Duran for a number 2, you know, and that having that number 2 or having that real first baseman makes us better, you know, where you balance it out with taking Duran off versus the addition, you have to be better in 2025. I don't want to hear just a player's name and I'd trade him, especially someone that's performing well, because you can't take a team that's trending in the right direction, potentially on their way to making the playoffs for the first time in 5 years, and just take a plus out of the lineup. It doesn't make any sense. So I don't want to hear I would trade Jaron Duran. No, you wouldn't. What would it, not if you want them to win this year? If you come to me with Jaron Duran for Fernando Tatis and somebody else, I'll start to have that conversation. Although I don't know how that avoids the logjam. When players perform, when the roster is performing the way it is, where there's so many players either playing well or exceeding expectations, deal with it in the offseason. Leave as many people to help the 2025 Boston Red Sox as absolutely possible. And I thought they made a step in the right direction this week when they moved Hamilton down to Worcester to keep Mayer in the lineup. So that was an indicator that they, at least for that move, aren't prepared to take a plus piece off the big league roster. So that's where I'm at. And if you want to talk about Story, my analysis is going to be the same thing. If you want to talk about, you know, literally any player. The only person I would consider moving right now off the big league club, because I don't consider them a plus performer, is Buehler and Wong. And then you have to talk about selling low on 2 players that really probably don't have much value.
Yeah, I mean, I thought you were actually going to say Yoshida, to be honest, but he's been somewhat.
He's untradeable. Buehler's owed about 6 on his deal. So I think there'd be clubs thinking that a change of scenery might get him going in the right direction. He's obviously got the pedigree. He got the lost out of the 2024 World Series on behalf of the Dodgers. Right. Wong has been so bad. I know we got a hit today, but he's been so bad that I just don't think he has any value, even though I think he has RBs left. So in other words, if you were to trade for Wong from another club's perspective, you have him for a number of years. Obviously Bueller would be a rental for the stretch run for whatever team would want, but there's no value there. So you're going to have to go trade potentially the password and some of these other assets down in the minor leagues if you're going to include the improve the big league club without also taking away a plus at the same time. You have enough assets. You can do it. You can do it. You could trade somebody you're going to draft today.
Yeah. I mean, it makes me a little bit nervous because I told Terry this, I think, after you trade Devers, because everybody was upset. Everybody was ticked off that day. I remember exactly what I was doing in the moment. I was not in my right mind. I was pretty upset, pretty annoyed. You trade the face of the team. Then you find out all the backstory stuff of like what else is going on. Who's the second face of the team with him gone? Who do you think is the face?
For me personally, I think it's Bregman on offense and Garrett Crochet from a pitching perspective.
I think that Jaron Duran has slowly become like one of the faces of the team. I think if you were to trade Jaron Duran, it would cause absolute chaos. I do want to take a quick comment break here. So, one person talking about, Wong slander. Nobody knew who that guy, who Carlos Narvaez was. No, you're right. So to your credit, sure. But you can't deny that Wong has been bad this year. Like, I feel bad. I feel bad that he's been so bad. But it's just, it's a black hole. He's not where we would need a catcher to be. You go from starter to bench guy to, honestly, you're invisible on the team. So the Red Sox do need to find a replacement for him, and I do hope he's able to re-find his form. That's the last remaining piece of the Mookie Betts saga. That's it. If he goes, that's it. Done. The Mookie thing is gone.
You can't look, and I get people love doing this, and in 9 years or whatever's left on Devers' deal, people are going to go back and have an evaluation of the deal and, you know, whatever may take. I don't have an ego with those things. Like, I don't care. And I know the front office for the Red Sox does. And I think it's a huge part of the problem with their personality, just from an ownership perspective. Who cares? And I responded in the chat to Nate. Nate, if you're newer to the podcast, last year, I was the biggest Wong supporter, talking about he should be catching 5 games a week. He was hitting like 330 towards into July, and then obviously he tapered off. He still had a really good year, and I thought he was the answer coming in this year. But this isn't a small sample size anymore. And I understand from the human being level, like Wong's a dude, you know, a dude like any of us or a person like any of us. And I understand that the broken finger and that at bat early in the season might have been the reason why he's kind of never gotten on track, and no one anticipated. I didn't even see Narvaez making the big league club, let alone doing what he's doing, which is, you know, I mean, he's a huge plus for this team right now. He's leading the team, but he's been that bad. And if you are going to go contend for a playoff spot, that's a spot in this roster that you have to improve. Narvaez is going to wear down. He's going to stop hitting, and so you have to have some support there. You just do. And I don't like it. I think Wong's a good player, and I think, you know, if he's still here next year or wherever he is, he'll get back on track and be a decent major league player. But for purposes of this team getting to the postseason and trying to go win the whole thing, if that's their mindset, you got to improve in the areas where you're lacking, and backup catcher is definitely one of those spots for us.
Wholeheartedly agree. I mean, I understand. And I do remember you saying that, that he was your guy. I do remember that being said multiple times. We all liked him. I don't think anyone was as strong of a supporter as you were. So to your point, to your credit. Yeah. But this year, I mean, he's had one RBI all season. I honestly can't remember another player that had been with the big league roster for 3+ months, 4 months almost, with one RBI of total offense. I can't remember another one in Major League Baseball.
I don't think he has a hit with runners in scoring position.
It's been a black hole. I mean, this is.
And Shooter makes a good point. We have no organizational depth at that spot.
We don't. We traded him away.
So you have to go out. Baseball. Exactly. In Teal. And if he was still in the system, he'd be up by now, I would think. But considering all the other of the then big four are up. But I think you got to go outside the organization. I think you got to improve that spot. I do. And I think you got to improve first base. And Toro's a great story. Don't get me wrong. He's having a really good year, switch hitter. You avoid matchup issues with him in the lineup. I get it. Right. But that's another spot that – and I'm not saying make a move to make a move. If you go out into the market and Breslow's evaluating who's available and there's no one that really improves your spot, then, okay, we roll with Toro, and that's – it is what it is. And same, I know somebody mentioned, well, what would be the – you know, who outside the organization would be a better – backup catcher than Wong. There's got to be somebody on a bad team. That's how bad Wong's been. You know, this isn't a situation where Toro doesn't really project to be that everyday first baseman, and where you just, if you can get one, that you're automatically going to not only potentially be better for 2025, but, you know, if they're smart about it and include assets, they could go get somebody with team control. Guys, there's going to be teams out of it in the next 2 weeks. There are good, except for the Rockies, there are good players on those teams. How did we get Crochet? We went and got the best player from the worst team. It happens, right? You know, and you know, there are going to be people available. And I can't imagine anybody in the chat, or even you and I, Charlie, because I know I can't do it, name every backup catcher in Major League Baseball. But that's Breslow's job, is to staff the department to be evaluating those things. They have the data. They have the information. Those conversations should have already started. And they should be evaluating those players as we come out of the All-Star break with regards to health and production, so that they can go find the spots we need to improve. And here's the good thing, if you want to look at it differently. There's really not a bunch of spots that we need to go improve on.
Right.
Getting another top of the rotation guy is a luxury at this point. They're going to add an arm or two for the bullpen. I'm sure of it. But other than that, backup catcher and first base, pretty good spot to be in, man. This roster is balanced. You know, if anything, people are complaining because we have a quote surplus of outfielders. Well, it's a good spot to be, my opinion.
Yeah, I'm not complaining about that at all. And truth be told, I mean, before the season started, we're seeing a comment right now about Reese McGuire. McGuire had two home runs in his first game of 2025, which is nuts. He's done little to nothing since then. So yeah, maybe statistically speaking, he's been better, but I don't know if I'd want him back. Danny Jansen, I actually was hoping they were going to bring him back. I didn't care, you know, how much it was going to cost, $4 or $5 million, whatever. Bring him back on a 1 year deal. I thought that would have been great. One other thing I want to talk about. All-Star game coming up quickly. Are there any players, in your opinion, on the Boston Red Sox that should have been on there that did not make the cut?
No.
I would
easy answer. Easy answer, but good. Just because our guys having a great year doesn't mean there aren't other guys in the league that have been doing it for the entirety of the first half. But the best example I can give you for that is Rafael. Rafael has been great in the last 2 to 3 weeks, especially in the last week. But the voting's already done. So is Rafael potentially, you know, on that all-star level? Yeah, he is. But
sure,
he's still 68th in the league in RBI, 68th in the league in home runs. So I think he was 60th in batting average. So is he a right around that area where he's an all-star? Yeah. 30 guys make it from each league. So he's right there, but it happened late. Narvaez offensively tailed off a little bit 2 weeks ago, and I think that hurt his chances. And then you have a guy like Cal Raleigh, who's like the clear best player in the league, already taken one spot. So, But I will say this, we have a bunch of guys who are all-star possibilities year in and year out coming up. And I'm sure you could name those, but that's my position on it.
Agreed. I do think that they should be making a couple of changes to the whole process for how the voting structure is done, because the Brewers have a young rookie who's got days of Major League Baseball experience, and he's going to the all-star game. And granted, he had 5 or 6 no-hit innings his first start, allowed one, I think it was one hit, it was a 2-run homer in his second game. So Mizuruski. I apologize if I'm mispronouncing his name. He's going to the All-Star game. And then there are other players that, you know, we'd love to see them in there. They're not going. And then there was another, you know, weird little one-off thing that I wanted to bring up to you. I don't know if you saw this part come out with Boone and Max Fried reached out to Tarek Skubal, and Fried asked him if he wanted to be the starter or something like that. I don't know if you saw that come out. It's like, why is Max Fried asking Tarek Skubal if he wants to be the starter? Why would we ever want to see Fried over Skubal start the All-Star game? That makes no sense. None. It should be Skubal or Crochet. That's it. Done. There should not be a conversation where Max Fried is being entertained in that. So I was curious to know if you had heard or seen that.
I mean, I've heard of stuff like that in the past. I think it helps with egos with certain guys that,
sure,
you know, feel like they should get it, even though he shouldn't. Skubal right. should. To spin around the take here, I'm just relieved that Crochet has decided not to partake in the game. Yeah, I mean, he's going to blow past his previous innings of, I think, 140. He's already at, like, what, 115, 120, something like that. So the to put his ego aside and to not play in the game and to put the Red Sox first is a very mature decision from a professional athlete. And I think it goes to some of the things we're hearing about Crochet's leadership out of the clubhouse. So I if we're going to have a takeaway, we have a Red Sox first move by one of our leaders in Garrett Crochet. I think that's huge. I think it sets him up to come out and to come out of the three hitter he threw yesterday and hopefully be the same guy for the second half of the year. Because if he is, I like the chances to get in the postseason,
dude,
Charlie.
I'm
getting excited.
I know. Crochet, first 3 years, 73 innings pitched. Last year, 146. This year so far, 129 and a third. And he's already got 160 punch outs. He's going to get 250 plus. I don't know if he's going to get 300, but he's going to come pretty darn close. He's going to be past 250.
I don't care about individual stats. It's, you know, right. To the extent that something like that happens, good for the player, especially if there's a kicker in his contract that makes him more money. Sure. But what I'd like to see is this team do their job, stay hot, obviously not like winning another 10 games in a row, but continue to play 600 plus baseball and be in a position where you can pick spots to limit Crochet's innings so that he's fresh and ready to go when he gets the ball in the first game of the playoffs.
It's going to be really interesting. I mean, you mentioned something right at the beginning of the show. This could not have been a worse time for the All-Star break after a 10 game killer streak. I mean, just, I don't think any team would stand a chance. I mean, teams would stand a chance and we might lose against some teams, but this team is just fun again. We've said it once, and this is going to be my last note. If you guys aren't watching a team or you guys don't have a team to watch, give this one a shot, because this is an actually fun team again for the first time from diehard longtime fans. This is the first time in a long time that this team is fun again, and we're really excited. So, Jeremy, if you don't have anything else, that is going to do it for the Bastards. Go Sox. Everyone have a great one. Take care.